Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, we're back.
A week already?
Oh, doesn't it go fast?
In this hour, we have another of our unique singing My Five segments.
Oh, and we're taught security and hate crime with AS Police.
And from WSM Pride, I got to talk to The Fizz.
The Fizz. Love it. Welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shield.
I'm Steffi Barnett. Welcome to the show. Yes, that tumbleweed moment was sponsored by First Bus.
Oh, no, I won't go into the technicals about it. I had it on the wrong track, all right?
Said a word.
Would have made life harder later on, but never mind. So, hello, everyone. Hello, Tara. Hello, Terry.
Good evening.
Hello.
Who are you again?
I can't see
your name back.
I can't see your face for the brightness. You should see what Steph's wearing. It's the brightest top in the world.
It's very
easy. It's like luminous pink.
In fact,
it's so bright it's making the pink in the Shout Out logo on your lanyard look really dull.
Yes.
It's one for television, isn't
yeah.
it? Do you remember the days in television where they couldn't wear stripes? I think because it would strobe across.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I don't think it happens with digital TV.
No.
In the old days.
Was that when it was 405 or 625 lines?
I'm not old enough to remember 405 line television.
There are a lot of people who won't know what you're talking about.
No, no.
Well, I think there's 3,900 in there at the moment in 4K.
Yeah, 1080p. The 1080 is the number of lines.
Yeah, well, yeah. It used to be when I was young, it was 400 odd. Yes, yeah. That's why we got
That's why they
lines.
Look so much better. Far less lines. So.
Well, you can see the lines on people's faces on television now, can't you? I mean, when my mum upgraded to high definition television, she said, I was watching the local news, she said, and all the newscasters, they look terribly old.
Yeah, that's why we're on radio.
I know, yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah, so I'll stick with radio, I think. So,
we've all got faces for radio.
Ooh. Thank you, Terry. We love you too.
Yeah, I was only speaking for myself, sorry.
Well, that silenced everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's not very often Terry insults everyone, that's why.
One fell swoop. Sweet moment.
Well, I'm so glad that we're back on there. So, how are you, Tara? Are you all right?
I'm fine, thanks. I just came in on the off chance tonight, and it's just like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool.
Well, yeah. You can rescue us then.
You think
so? Protect us from the Terry.
Yeah, no. I was a bit shocked there. Yeah.
Anyway, we've got quite a packed show coming up, haven't we?
We have, yes. We got a second of our My Fives where we actually pay. Well, it is a track. And we got the people involved in that track introducing it. We got quite a serious main interview with AS Police talking about hate crime and security. And then another Western Supermare Pride snippet I caught up with Bucks Fizz. We're not allowed to use the word Bucks because that's...
It's copyrighted,
fizz.
Isn't it?
It is copyrighted, yeah. But more in the interview later about that because I did ask them about that.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I'm looking forward to that. It was... fabulous to meet.
It was
Cheryl and Mike.
There was an awful lot of food in that room, and there was only three of them.
They offered us.
They did. Well, that was because there was so much. that was a big spread. Yeah, because it was only Mike,
Cheryl,
and their producer?
I think it was their producer, yeah. Wasn't it? Was sat in the room as well.
Well, while I go find some sunglasses so that I can survive the rest of the show next to the pink blob. Have a listen to this.
Blob, ouch.
The Ouch Out My Five on Shout
My
Out
name
Radio.
Is Fraser Kingdom Barrett. I am trans. So this song, the original lyrics and melody were written by me over 4 years ago. Briefly worked with Simon Rudd and Graham Bowley on the song, but decided to start again. Last year I worked with trans lady Nikki Stevens, where she produced a version of the song and added some of her creative input. So earlier this year, I was put in touch with trans singer Asifa Lahore. Asifa put me in touch with producer Paul Miles at Select Studios Wood Green London. Asifa kindly added her creative input to the song, and Paul Miles kindly added his producing expertise. I was very pleased with the finished product. So I wanted to write a song about being trans, as I didn't know of any songs out there to express how it is for our community. So the next part of the audio is of our singer, Asifa Lahore.
My name is Asifa Lahore, and I'm commonly known as Britain's first out Muslim drag queen. I live my life as a transgendered woman, and I have been in transition for a year and a half. I'm a singer-songwriter, DJ, club hostess, you name it. I was put in touch with Fraser Kingdombara earlier this year, and he got in touch with me in regards to singing one of his songs that he had written regarding being trans. When I heard the demo of the song, I was so touched by the lyrics and the melody, because obviously being in transition, I was in the process of sort of getting what was on the inside and bringing it out to my outer body. So the lyrics of the song really spoke volumes to me. It was a privilege to work with Fraser and Paul Miles of Select Studios in London on the song, and working on the new arrangement was really magical. I put my heart and my soul and a lot of emotion into my vocal delivery, and I really hope you will like it.
You don't know how I feel. I live in this hell. You don't know the deal. There's no way I'm gonna tell. You don't know how I feel. What I go through every day. The secret I conceal. It's not fair. Trans mind to change into another sex, a stranger quandary I haven't met. So let the journey, let it begin. I wanna lose my little thing. I don't know what it will look like to follow through with my desire. Not fair.
Leave me.
you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt. Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Oh, I quite like that. That was a good song, that one.
It was. It's a good way of doing My Five, isn't it? That was quite quite good lyrics as well. Quite meaningful.
Yeah. So, anyway, do you want to introduce our next man?
I spoke to somebody from AS Police and also somebody from Out Bristol.
Have I put you on the spot?
Not at all, Helen. we were actually did the interview in a small motor caravan, so there's a lot of background noise from the stage.
Well, this was at Pride, wasn't it?
It was at Pride. So there's if you're wondering, although the subject matter is quite serious, there's a lot of joviality going on behind us.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Sergeant Helen Riddell and I'm here as one of the LGBT liaison officers for Avon and Somerset Police. I also am the hate crime coordinator along with Superintendent Andy Bennett.
Hello, my name's Leighton Tabaka. I'm the co-chair of Nightwatch, which is the nighttime industry association for Bristol, and editor of Out Bristol magazine.
The thing is, with Pride, there's the rainbow flags and everyone's happy and a celebration of diversity. But there's a lot of hatefulness going on out there and the problems with potential security and that. So can you tell me a bit about the security problems and threats that have happened at different prides and also any potential protests that you might have heard of that might have affected Pride?
One of the biggest challenges, as everyone's been seeing in the press recently, is about the radical groups protesting about the trans community. But we have had a rise nationally on hate crime towards all the LGBT rainbow family. And one of the biggest challenges is with Pride is even recently in Cornwall and in Bath, the carnival, we had the LGBT police truck vandalised, and also an increase in hate crime in Bristol where people are being attacked. And not reporting it. So one of the things we're trying to get across is that people need to report hate crime no matter how small they think it is, even if someone shouts at them, because it's about escalation. And if without challenging someone looking at you badly, or if they're clocking at you but not saying anything, that can escalate if it's not challenged. And that's where the Avon and Somerset Police come in and the LGBT group come in. And also hate crime services like SARI come in, where you can report it and then we can combat that and actually start tracking that data so we can start seeing trends, and then the police can actually put resources into it. But also that's the same when we put in Pride or any LGBT event, from Trans Pride, Leather Pride, Bear Weekend. If we know where there's patterns, the council, the officers and regulators, and also Gold Command that do the big festivals, can put that into their planning mechanisms so they can see where trends are. So where the more people tell us what's happening and where it's happening, the more we can make people safer.
Right. Helen, is it an issue for the police that people are not coming forward because maybe of embarrassment and that, or maybe that they think that the police aren't actually going to be proactive in their complaint?
I think, well, you've mentioned two very key issues there. Historically, we have had concerns about the public's confidence in the police due to poor practice in the past. But I can guarantee to people that we do want to hear about what's happening to them, as Leighton has just articulated. If we don't know where these things are happening and we don't know who's responsible, we can't act and we can't put the resources where they need to be. We all recognise that Pride is just a fabulous expression of love and for everybody in our community, and it's really important that we recognise quite how many people in the community who don't necessarily identify as LGBT themselves really do support us, and it's that support that we need to gather. We must never forget where Pride has come from and the history, but also it's a fantastic expression of love that we have at our festivals. But sadly, there are still some people who who feel threatened and don't understand that, and sadly express that in unpleasant and unlawful ways.
Going on from that, the fact that about the hate crime and the fact that a lot of people don't complain about it, is there a rise in complaints, even though there's this lack of enough people coming forward? Have you seen an actual rise in complaints and hate crime?
Well, we have increased reporting rates, which is always very welcome, because it suggests that people are more comfortable about coming forwards, and we will always welcome an increase in reporting. What our aim is to reduce the overall rate of incidence of hate crime. That is our goal, and that is part of our strategy in Avon and Somerset.
Talking earlier about the security at Pride, and you were saying about the trucks being parked across, do you know if that threat is actually a real threat that has either occurred or potentially occurred? Where do you hear about these threats? Is it coming from street level?
One of the things is with all the prides and Carnival, St Paul's Carnival, all of the events and all the festivals in the west of England, we have one of the best policing teams, I think, in the country as far as actually reducing the threats. But actually, when it comes to actually planning the festivals, the events, from all of them, from the Harbour Festival to any of the gay prides, there has been a more risk and escalation over the last couple of years with regards to major risks. Brighton being one of the highest risks, their bill for security is through the roof. Certain risks and certain threats, there have been people saying, right, you know, this year is more of a high risk, hence why a Western Pride, Nigel and his team did a great job by hiring in trucks to actually block the roads. There was no risk of anyone, cars or anyone coming into the crowd. Obviously, some other prides are a lower risk, but Western Pride's taken that. Bath Carnival, Bath is a high terrorist target because of the city. Carnival and the LGBT block was heavily guarded as well, mainly because of terrorist risks. And it's usually based on the location plus the event. Sometimes a city is more of a tourist attraction, and like Bath is, and a World Heritage Site, plus a major attraction of people, or people from certain minority communities that have had hate crime. Those combinational factors together is what racks up an event on a terrorist threat or a safety threat.
Helen, going on from that, from the point of view of Avon and Somerset Police, do you see Pride as more of a target than, say, the Harbour Festival or a food festival that's happening in Millennium Square today?
I think, sadly, any events where people gather to express tolerance and diversity will always attract the attention of people who seek to put forward an alternative, more hateful agenda. I think it's very important to recognise that that we have specialists within the police who work in our operation planning department who consider every event that happens in Avon and Somerset and put the appropriate resources in place. It's true that nationally we have a very severe threat, and that's assessed by the government, and we respond accordingly to that. But there have been no specific threats made towards any Pride events, and I want to reassure people of that. But we do take these measures just to make sure. And sadly, as the threat and the expression of that threat changes, and we've seen significant attacks in other cities where people have used vehicles, so we have that contingency built into our plan to make sure that any gathering of people is safe. And when you ask about, is a Pride event more risky than other large-scale events, all of our public order situations are all assessed according to that same model. I mean, clearly, there are people who don't share our democratic views and our views on how our society, how we want to have our society functioning in this country. And, you know, there are people who seek to put forward a very negative agenda. But I would just like to reassure people that there is no specific threats towards any Pride events.
Something that's quite pertinent at the moment and was in the headlines not so long ago at London Pride with regards of TERFs and the issue between the LGB and the T communities. Avon and Somerset Police got any contingency plans of how you're going to handle that? It must be a delicate balance between free speech
And when that turns into a hate crime, is that, do you find that quite difficult to handle as a police officer?
I think, I mean, we always seek to be able to facilitate people expressing opinion, and as you say, everybody has the right to feel about an issue as they do, and it's true to say that there are some people within the more extreme feminist community who have taken a very strong stance about the government consultation around the Gender Recognition Act, and I would say I would very much welcome, you know, a discussion with those people, and I have had on an individual basis, you know, some very healthy discussions. But what has happened in Bristol is that we have tried to develop a healthy space where people can exchange views and where people can be encouraged to give their opinion. But what we won't tolerate is hate speech on social media and threats made towards people, because that is not the adult and sensible way to conduct a discussion. If you have a point to make, then come and make it in a sensible and adult way, not threatening people, and you know, that goes for everybody.
Now you've been to a few meetings where TERFs have been present and that. Do you find it quite easy to shut them down, or maybe hold a mirror up to their hatred, and would they like that in return? They seem to be bristling about the return hatefulness about the term TERFs. What have you come across in the meetings that you've been to?
The biggest challenges in the meetings is that, especially within the LGBT plus communities and the wider communities, is the LGBT plus communities is 7% of the national population. So we're all coming from very different viewpoints and different backgrounds, different intersectional identities. And intersectionality, just so your listeners, if they haven't heard that word before, is basically all the different components of who you are that make you you. So somebody might be a lesbian, for example, but they then believe that trans women are trans women, but they don't accept them as women. And one of the biggest issues is that where people don't want to accept compromise and don't want to accept other people's points of view, and even to a point where you agree to disagree, but actually not tolerating the existence of other communities can't be tolerated by saying, oh, you know, these people aren't valid human beings. I was at one meeting that got quite fiery, and I turned around to the people in the room and I said, as a gay guy, if I had to go up and sign a certificate and to allow me to be a gay guy, and I said to one of the BME people in the room, if you had to go up and turn around and have to sign a certificate to allow you to be a black person, we'd all be running around the streets and rioting and kicking off. Just because the trans community is a small minority community, but they're an equal part of the human race as anyone else, and having them have to go through the indignity and inhumanity of having to go through a recognition act. If somebody turns around and says, I'm non-binary, I'm trans, or any other identity based on their gender or anything about them, that should be sufficient. Having groups, organizations of any kind saying you cannot be that is wrong. It is not what British values are about, it's not what freedom's about, and it's definitely not what prides are about.
Now, the TERFs tend to be talking about adults and saying that somebody who's an adult trans person is still a man and invading our space. But I was born with gender dysphoria. I knew at 4. So what are they saying about young children? Are they hateful against children as well?
One of the biggest things, I've been at some of the, shall we say, much more extreme meetings as an observer, and that was one of the things. Obviously, they were attacking groups like mermaids, they were attacking groups like gender intelligence and other LGBT and plus groups. And that's one of the things is, you know, part of protecting our community and protecting vulnerable people is protecting children, and having any group even mention that, you know, amazing groups like mermaids are bad is abhorrent. Obviously my view is quite extreme in the sense that I think any group that looks after young people of any kind is a good thing. We need to protect, because they're the future of all of the society. If we don't look after the vulnerable, what does that say about us as a society? With regards to the exclusionary feminists that comes under the trans exclusionary feminist term, having those groups targeting certain youth groups is a concern in the West, where I was at one of the meetings at Jam Jar, and that did come up. I think there was a lot of, like, to reiterate what Helen said earlier, is we need healthy debate, and I think we do need these groups all to come together and start talking, because there's a lot of people who don't understand trans or gender issues, and they're scared because they don't understand it, and we need to talk about it, and we need to help them understand it. And then there are the more extremists who won't change their mind, and we need to have an open dialogue so people can feel comfortable ask questions. The amount of community events I go to and I work in where people who've never met a gay guy before, if it's an Islamic event or a BME event, and they've never met a gay guy before, and then they'll ask permission to come over, talk to us at a stand. That first thing, you know, you don't police their speech, you don't, you know, you just let them ask questions. Some are really direct, but it's building those bridges that's really important. And if we don't do that, and that's what prides are great for.
There's a BCFM jingle that says, if you get to know us, you might like us. Mm. Yeah. Helen, your view of that?
Yeah, the one thing that I would like to say is that there is a huge amount of scaremongering going on. And, you know, we've had the Gender Recognition Act now for over 15 years. And what upsets me is that there is information being put around by people suggesting that trans women are somehow this threat, and that there's going to be sexual offences being perpetrated in changing rooms and things. If any of that sort of behaviour ever happened, it would be dealt with, and an individual would be dealt with, but it hasn't happened in all that time that, you know...
I don't think there's a case any reported in the world, is there?
No, there isn't. And this is what concerns me, is this idea that somehow trans women are a threat. And it concerns me a great deal, and it's just simply not true.
Fake news. Thank you both so much for your time.
No, thank you, and enjoy Pride, everyone.
Thank you, and have a brilliant Pride season, everybody.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, I feel like I'm back in Ibiza.
Back,
yeah, believe it or not, I went there when I was about 20.
Ooh, so, quite a few years ago now, then.
Yeah, good, yeah, 20 years ago. Wow, God, I can't believe it's been that long.
but yeah, it's a big 4-0 now.
Yeah, yeah, so another 20.
Yeah,
I still go back fast. Though. So, yeah, I'm not sure I could quite cope with it like I did when I was 20, but there you go.
Often on a Saturday night, I think, oh, I'm glad I'm at home listening to the wireless instead of sort of out clubbing as I was.
The Wi-Fi.
Sorry?
The Wi-Fi.
The wireless.
The Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi. Do you mean my other half, the Wi-Fi?
Anyway, that was The Sun Club by Fiesta, in case you did like that.
So. Are you sure it wasn't the
Fiesta
other way around?
Fiesta by the Sun Club. Yeah. I don't know. You tell me. It doesn't say. It just says Sun Club Fiesta.
Well, just read the script then.
Yeah. I think the Sun Club is the name of the band, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Beat Combo Group. That's who are riding high in the hit parade.
See, Terror's gone. Oh, in wow. Hip parade.
The hip parade. On the wireless. With a Wi-Fi. Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
Yes. Why not? This is Shout Out News on Thursday the 9th of August. The BBC has been reporting on the trial of England cricketer Ben Stokes at Bristol Crown Court. Mr. Stokes was accused of a fray outside a city centre nightclub during which several assaults took place. Now, there is an LGBT angle to this story in that Mr. Stokes says that several men with whom he scuffled had ridiculed some of his gay friends. But in breaking news, Sky News reports this evening that Stokes has been acquitted of his charges. And it's with some sadness that we have to report that one of the Shout Out family of radio stations, Radio WSM, will be closing at the end of August, as we mentioned last week. For the last year or so, the station has aimed to build up a community radio service online for the town of Weston in North Somerset. However, the owner has decided that the amount of work and energy required to continue with the service is prohibitive, and is taking his commitment away from his other radio station, Pirate Nation, which also broadcasts Shout Out. Shout. Terry Starr, the gay radio enthusiast who wrote the original concept for what became Shout Out in 2009, said, "It is always very sad when a member of the community radio family closes down. Over the years, I've heard many radio stations come and go, and it's always very sad, whether they are a small internet station right through to the large players like the late GWR. But Shout Out goes on and continues to build strong and autonomous queer-friendly media. Incidentally, if you run an internet or community station, or even indeed a powerhouse international broadcaster, and you would like an LGBT magazine show, then feel free to drop us a line." Issue 90 of the Anarchist Federation's journal Organise is out now and is dedicated to Pride, with a front cover painting celebrating gay and trans liberation. Anarchism is probably just as misunderstood as LGBT people in certain circles. Rather than chaos, anarchists believe in a kind of socialism, but without the coercive apparatus of the state, in which people live in peace and with the maximum amount of democracy and tolerance. Many of the more radical gay and trans groups, such as Outrage, the Lesbian Avengers, Queer Nation and the Transgender Menace, have been organised on principles close to anarchism. As for the traditional anarchist movement, like the socialists with whom it shares a common origin in the 19th century, early groups were rather male-identified and homophobic. But in the early 20th century, two of the most famous anarchist agitators in the US, Alexander Berkman and Emma Goldman, spent time in prison, where they met many gay men, lesbians, bi and gender-fluid people. So they began to back the early homosexual emancipation movement, even when the bulk of the left was opposed to reform. Today, most anarchist groups support queer liberation, although there are pockets of homophobia and transphobia. And talking of countercultural movements, the hippie movement of the late 1960s was arguably one of the most important social, cultural and political transformations of the 20th century. It brought together a huge range of alternative political beliefs, countercultures and practices, many of which had been simmering away for decades under the radar. In just a few short years, it transformed music, art, fashion and perhaps most importantly, the way people viewed themselves. As one veteran of that exciting era has noted, perhaps they didn't change the world, but every time you do a yoga class, or visit a humanistic counsellor, or visit your local organic food co-op, well, all these things were massively reinvigorated from the late 60s high tide for alternative living. Why is this important to LGBT people, you may ask? Well, many of the institutions of the hippie experience, such as the underground press, benefit gigs and consciousness-raising groups, were to form a backbone to the gay revolutions that kicked off in 1969 and then spread across the globe. Many gay, women's liberation and trans liberation activists cut their teeth through the hippie movements. So it's noteworthy that BBC4 Television have been rerunning their series on the hippie counterculture, exploring its long incubation and its long legacy. The programme is available to rewatch on the BBC iPlayer. And sticking with the BBC, their news channel reports that online abusers, that is, trolls who attack people standing for elected office, could find themselves barred from becoming MPs, councillors or members of the devolved parliaments under new rules being considered. The proposals have come about after shocking levels of abuse on Twitter and email have come to light attacking politicians, especially black, LGBT and female representatives. And if you thought the perpetrators of such abuse were angry heterosexual men, then you'd only be partially correct, because it's come to light that transgender activists and political players have also been subject to much abuse from parts of the feminist movement. There is hope from the wider queer community that that type of abuse will also be covered by the new proposals. Users of the adult free-to-view website Xtube, which has a considerable number of gay, bi and trans members, are being alerted to a scam email that has been circulating at least since February. Our technical researchers have found that an email in badly written English claims that it has compromising footage of Xtube users. The email is often sent to people's work addresses if their email account has previously been hacked. The email demands $1,000 or else the alleged compromising footage will be disseminated to all their contacts. Well, we can assure you that this is nothing but a toothless scam. It can be safely ignored and deposited in your delete folder. Remember, never give in to these scam emails. They're just criminals and often linked with shady operations like people trafficking. And finally, advance tickets are now available for Palm Springs Leather Pride, taking place over the weekend of October the 25th to the 28th. The city has a very large queer community with a vibrant LGBT infrastructure of bars, charities, shops, media and broadcasts. So pop along to our website for a link to the event and to learn more. But if you're doing this, remember that there are adult themes on the site and it's not suitable for viewing at work. For these news stories and more, you can check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Right, so I'll get this round the right way this time. That was Pray For Me. Yeah?
Yeah, that's not the group, that's the title of the song, Andy.
the Weeknd, Kendrick Lamar.
And no one's going to be praying for
no.
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Just saying.
Anyway, shush you. Well, in fact, don't shush you. I'll tell you what, introduce your next bit. It's Steffi's show tonight, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Again, at Western Supermare Pride.
But these are your favourites.
We bust into...
you did.
Yeah, I took Terry along, so both of us...
I was a bit starstruck.
Were you?
Yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm with Buck Spears. We went into Grove House. They had a massive spread of food, which they asked us to partake in, but... We had a chat to them.
They were delightful as yes. well. Sure.
Yeah. Right, so we've bust into Grove House and I found the Fizz. Now, you have to be the Fizz, Cheryl, don't you, for a certain reason?
Yeah, because we don't own the trademark Bucks Fizz. So we are the Fizz. And you know, to be perfectly honest, even back in the 80s and 90s, people used to cut Bucks out of it anyway and just say, oh, I'm going to see a Fizz gig or going to see the Fizz or have you bought the latest Fizz record. So it just made
so it just fits anyway, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yes it does, yeah, and we like it.
Yeah. Now, is this your first Western Pride? I know we've met before when you've done other Prides.
We did Bristol Pride, didn't we? Yes, it's the first Western Pride, but we've done quite a few Prides, but they're great. The atmosphere is always amazing.
Now, there is some sad news, and that's Jay. Can you tell me the latest on that?
Yeah, it happened earlier in the year. We were doing an album, Christmas album, funnily enough. And
For this Christmas coming? Yeah, okay. We'll discuss that shortly.
Yeah, and just prior to going into the studio to do it, we found out, Jay found out from the hospital that she had cancer of the tongue. And so she had enough time just to get in the studio to put her vocals down, and then she went and had the operation, came back out. She got her voice back, but then she had to go and have some more done. But she's doing really, really well. We saw her last week, and she looked really good. She really did. In fact, we had a photograph taken with her, and she looked better than we did.
She did. She really did. Really? Yes, no, she did.
Is she feeling good about herself? And you know, is she quite positive about?
Yeah,
what?
No. She's really positive. Yeah. She's really positive. She believes that she's going to get over it, but it's going to take some time. I mean, she's. Had a part of her tongue removed and she had it replaced with a part of her leg. So it's a double whammy, you know. She's not only learning to speak again, which she has to because she's got to learn to use her tongue again. I spoke to her yesterday and she tried the making your mind up routine and she couldn't, her leg wouldn't hold her up, so.
Now, you were saying about a Christmas album. Have you got anything else coming up or are you concentrating on that currently?
Well, when we went into the studio in January this year, and we started a brand new album, which is a follow-up to the last one we had out with Mike Stock, and our manager and agent were there, and they decided, we don't want to go with the album this year, and we kind of all sat there a bit strange about it. He said, no, we want to go with that next year. What about a Christmas album? And I thought he meant Christmas next year as well. But he didn't mean Christmas this year. So we said, and Mike Stock said, yeah, they can do a Christmas album. Yes, we can get one sorted out. They left about 2 o'clock, and by 6 o'clock, we had 3 tracks done.
No, really?
Yeah, really, really quick. I mean, it was only basics to sing to, you know, just the drums and a bit of piano, a bit of a guitar. And we just went, we sung to it and got all the vocals down on 3 tracks. It took about 4 hours to do, but... You know, and we've finished the album now. We finished it a couple of weeks ago, and it just sounds really good. I mean, Mike Stock is a really, really good producer. He really is good. And we're doing the Christmas songs, and he didn't want to pick, you know, the sloppy, typical Christmas things.
Oh, so it's not... The Fizz actually done a Christmas album before?
No, it's our first one.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah, it's our first Christmas album. Yeah, and we've picked really good songs. But what is some of the songs, because we're a vocal group, he's really worked on the vocals. And my vocal on it is brilliant, you know.
It's not. It is. It is.
What was that about self-praise?
Yeah, in his recommendation. No, I'm always doing it. Ignore me. No, I mean, we did it, and I'm just really pleased. When he's finished doing all the mix and everything with it, we'll hear it, and it's just, I think it's going to sound really good. So, fingers crossed. And then following that next year, we're going to be touring next year as well.
So the UK?
Yeah, so the other album will be ready for release then as well, because we're going back in October, isn't it?
October, yeah.
Yeah, October we're going back in to carry on with the other album. We've got about another 5-6 tracks to do on it. And
really?
then it's ready to go, yeah.
So you're hardly anywhere near retirement then? It sounds like you're as busy as ever.
Oh, listen, all of my friends that I went to school with, I saw them last night, funny enough. They're all retired. One is retiring in March. And I couldn't think of anything worse.
Thank you anyway for sharing about the Christmas album and about the other album. Have you got a name for the second album that's coming out next year, or is it still too early?
Far from it. No, we've got no name. I don't think we've even got a name for the Christmas album yet.
Anymore.
Listen, both of you, thank you so much for giving us time.
That's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure. I hope you enjoyed the show.
You take it easy and take care.
Thank you both.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Well, I think Tara was quite enjoying that one. Wasn't
that was yes, really lovely. Nice. Just yes. Reminded me.
Don't make
childhood.
Him like that anymore.
Yeah, I was a kid when this.
Yes, I think I was about 7 when Bucks Fizz won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1981.
Yes, I was 10.
1981, I would have been 3.
Yeah. But it was,
I'm saying nothing.
Am I right in thinking they only just won? It was a very tight victory, so to speak.
Oh, I don't know.
There's just a few points in it, wasn't
it? It was tight clothes they were wearing. I don't know.
That's the one where they ripped the skirts. That's
what came off easy enough.
The famous Velcro skirt.
Yes, that's what Velcro was invented for.
Winning Eurovision. Yes.
No, ripping skirts off.
Now, we're rapidly running out of show, but just very quickly, if you are trying to grab podcasts or get on our website, we're very sorry, our server is offline at the moment, having to be rebuilt, but it should be back in the next couple of days, and all will be restored and up and running as normal. We do apologise. It's one of the downsides of being community. Things can take just a little bit longer when they go wrong. So, but
can still listen again, though. We got loads of other stations taking us over the weekend.
Yeah, so, and the podcast will be up when we're back online. Yeah, so. Yeah.
And absolutely. BCFM listen again, of course.
Yes, bcfmradio.com/shoutout.
Yeah, so we're prolific.
Promiscuous, indeed.
The P word.
Yes, I don't know.
Only speaking for myself.
Anyway, that's it for today.
No, I don't want to go.
You do enough on the radio. sorry, only 1 hour, but you can catch us time-shifted on loads of multiple channels, as we were talking about.
Yes, we are. Go to our Twitter feed at shoutout_radio for our partner stations and times.
Next week, we've got Terry's My Five in amongst the rest.
It's actually 15 long.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, long story.
Can't shut me up.
Anyway, until next time, for myself and the rest of the team.
Yeah, bye.
Say bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.